What interesting thoughts. It's something that we should always be thinking about and considering that someday we will be standing before the Lord. And are you going to be ready for that? Ready for the trumpet call? Ready to know that you're going to go to heaven? But even at that judgment seat, even those that are believers are going to have that judgment seat of Christ, what we did while the time we had here. It's a very convicting thought. It's comforting in knowing that we're going to be in heaven, but we're going to be judged according to what we've done with the spirit and the motive that we have. I think a lot of our stuff, if we don't even realize, is going to get burned up. But the things we do with a pure heart out of service for Him are things that we can get rewards for. Not for our glory, but for His, that He could use someone like us, man. Okay, Psalms 119, it is the last eight verses. I know we've been going through this for a number of times, and I think it's been really great. It's been a help to me. I think we've gone through it for at least 22 weeks, and that's just the, I don't know about you, but like I said, there are some things I learned. We're going to review a couple things and try to dive in it. I know we don't want to be here all night, but at the same time, there are some wonderful truths that are found in here. Title tonight's message is Give Me Understanding. And you say, Pastor, that sounds like a title from before. It is. It's because in these 176 verses, the thing that the Lord spoke to my heart and has helped me tremendously through these times and this information is we really truly need understanding. We don't just need to have laws memorized. The man David, after God's own heart, was saying, Lord, help me to understand. Help me to understand. And if he understands, he knows he's going to have to keep on crying out to God. If he understands, he knows he's going to want to tell other people. If he understands, he's going to know that he needs God's help. But so often we have just established these principles and built certain things in our hearts and our lives, and we don't think, oh, as long as I follow something, everything's going to be okay. But the psalmist is here, and he wants to know God better. Paul, and many people would say, probably the greatest Christian in the New Testament, you know, he's saying that I may know him. He wants to understand him better. He wants to know him and the power of his resurrection. He wants to understand the truths. And David, a man after God's own heart, maybe, I know it'll probably be an argument about which one of those great characters of the Bible was used greatly by God. And you think about Abraham or Moses and even Daniel or Joseph, but David would be right up there. And what is he saying? Give me understanding. And it's something that we should really seek for, something we should pray for, is something we should really desire. And that's where the heart of the theme for this year is. It's just more than knowing, it's understanding the will of God. And David, a man after God's own heart, is asking for understanding once again. He's already made a decision. His decision is the fact that he has chosen to keep God's precepts. He's already been bought into the fact that, hey, I know God's right, God's word is right. I know God's word is true. I know all those things, but I still want understanding. Look what it says in 173. It says, let thy hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. And forget about the first part for right now, let thy hand help me. He's saying, for I have chosen thy precepts. He says, I've already made a choice. Now go back to the first eight verses, the thing that we started, you know, over 20 weeks ago, and look at what he's saying. In Psalms chapter 119, verses 1 through 8, that first study we did, it was David saw something. He understood something. He understood that the person who was blessed, meaning that they're used by God and meaning that they're happy, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. It is so much more than just saying, I'm living, walking according to the law of the Lord. It is seeking after him. It is actually walking in his ways. It's looking like him, acting like him. And then it says, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with the uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. He said, why did you read those verses? It's because he made a choice. He observed something. He saw what everybody else was doing. He saw the people that were blessed. He saw the people that were happy. And he says, there's something different about them. They followed the ways of the Lord. They listened to God. And all throughout these verses, over and over, David talks about, I'm going to seek thy precepts. David talks about, I'm going to delight in thy commandments. He talks about how I will lift up my hands in thy, after thy commandments. He talks about it over and over and over throughout this longest chapter of the whole Bible, and he has boiled it all down. I want to follow God's word. That is something that's really important to me. I want to follow God. I want to follow his word. But why is he at the end asking for understanding? If he is saying, okay, Lord, I'm sold out. I want to be a biblical Christian. And I know the word Christian was first in Antioch, but you get what I'm saying. And it says here, and it's found in the last verse of the whole chapter. It's found in 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. He's saying, even though I still remember your commandments, there are times and there are places that I go astray, and I need your help. There's a problem. He still goes astray. There's a problem. He understands the word of God. He desires the word of God. He wants to do all those things. And I think if we would compare ourselves to the love he has for the word of God, we would say, man, it's paling in comparison. If we would say that the understanding that David had of God and all the things he had sent him through and all the things he had seen, from the bear to the lion to Goliath to Saul to on the battlefield, he'd gone through all those different things, we would think, you know what, David's probably got a good understanding of God. He's probably got a good relationship with God. He probably has a good working knowledge. If David should be someone who's teaching other people about God, and he does. But why is he saying at the end, give me understanding? It's because he understood an important truth. It's because I go astray at times. I need God's word, and I've made this commitment. But he also knows that he wanders from God's best. If he really truly wants to be a person that's discerning, if he really truly wants to be a person who is understanding, if he truly wants to be a person that is doing the word of God, this is the key, is how do we look at the word of God? We can't be just hearers. We need to be doers only. In Hebrews chapter, I think it's chapter number 4, but it gives a description of a person who is discerning, a person who has milk, and it's not a discerning person, but a person of strong meat, a person of understanding, a person that desires to know. That thing, they take the word of God and they apply it to their hearts and they apply it to their lives and make it something special. Why do we just say we love the Bible? Why do we say it's something that's committed to us? How come we know the answers to the Bible questions? And all those are good things, but we still go astray. How come is it that we are happy with just knowing the Bible but not applying it to our hearts? How come it is it that we struggle so often and struggle so much? And I think one of the main reasons is because we don't understand. If we understood better, we would see the response David has. David even goes to the point in saying, I want you to hear me, God. But you said, well, what do you mean? David knows that God's going to hear him. He says in the first two verses there, I want my cry to come near unto thee. So what is the one thing that causes God not to hear and answer our prayers as believers? Anybody know? Sin. And he's saying at the end, hey, I go astray. So he's saying, he is so humble at this point, and he says, I want my cry to come near unto thee. He is saying that out of a heart of humility, God, I want you to hear me. Why is that? Because he understands he goes astray. He understands if his prayer life isn't vibrant, he understands if his prior life is not connected, that the end result is, I'm going to go astray. I'm going to look at things wrong. I'm going to understand things wrong. I'm not going to have what God's understanding, what God wants for me. So the first thing that understanding gives us, it helps us to understand we need to communicate. Look what it says in verse number 169. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication become before me. Deliver me according to thy word. He was putting an emphasis on the fact that they need to communicate.
He came to this spot and realized, I need to pray. I need to communicate. There is nothing else that's going to help me more than just prayer and knowing His Word. And he's already made that decision. God's Word is it for me. I've viewed everyone. I've seen what it takes. And I looked at what happened in this world. And God's Word is what I want because it's the blessed life. It's the life that God can use. It's the life that makes people happy. Some people say, you're going to just be a miserable being a Christian. That is a Christian that does not understand. If you see a Christian that is miserable in their walk, they're not truly discerning the things that God desires them to do. Now, they could be going through a hard time and a circumstance, but if they are bitter and they're angry, they're missing some things. And the psalmist is saying, God, I understand this communication is so important. So he humbly, the man after God's own heart, says, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. It's not just come. He says, I want it to be near to you. I want you to listen to it. I want you to hear it. I want you to give it consideration. Not just the prayer. He says, O Lord, give me understanding. He says, I want you to help me understand according to thy word. He is speaking to David. David is speaking to the Lord. He is desiring to hear and understand what God wants him to learn from all these precepts that he keeps all the time, all these things he has memorized, all these things that are heart that are special to him. He says, Lord, I need you to hear from me. Is our prayer life so important that we understand that we need to get a hold of God on a regular basis, that we're going to fight against sin? Because our prayer life is many times disconnected because we have disconnected ourselves to our prayer source, disconnected ourselves to the power source because we love our sin too much. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I didn't make that up. I like to think that, hey, if I got a little bit of sin in the back there, nobody else can see but God. God's still going to listen. God's still going to hear. God's going to still answer our prayers. That's not what the psalmist is saying. The psalmist is humbly, I can imagine him on his face saying, Lord, I need my cry to come near to you. God, I need you to hear my prayers. God, it is desperate times in my life, and I cannot go forward unless I know you're hearing from me. And because of that, I want my life to be right. Do we look at it like that? Are we that humble that we come before God and say, God, I know you say boldly enter to the throne of grace. And God, I know that Jesus has paved that way. I know you've promised to hear and answer our prayers. Those are all wonderful things to hold on to. But the psalmist is asking for understanding. The psalmist is saying, let my cry come near unto thee, because he wants his heart to be right. He has this understanding. If my heart is not right, you're not hearing me. Those hours that we spend, maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes, that hour with the Lord, if we're not right, it doesn't matter. And that's what it says here. It even says in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So I want to encourage you tonight, when we come through all the Psalms, and he talks about how much he loves the Lord, and he loves the Word of God, and how much he wants it, almost every single verse is talking about the Word of God, and he's praising it, now he's at the end, and we would think he has all the understanding he needs, he would think because of his love for the Bible, that God's going to hear and answer his prayers. He says, at the end of the last verse, he says, but I go astray, I've gone astray. I know that I struggle. I know that I have a fleshly nature. I know there's something in me that is going to fail unless you hear me, unless you give me direction, unless you give me understanding. I'm going to fail. I'm going to fail every time. And that's what he's asking for. But do we ask for understanding? I mean, the Bible is filled with verses about understanding. He's trembling. He's afraid that he's not heard, one preacher put it his way. He's trembling, afraid lest he be not heard. He is conscious that his prayer is nothing better than the cry of a poor child or the groan of a wounded beast. He dreads lest it should be shut out from the ear of the Most High. He will boldly pray that it may come before God, that it may be in his sight, under his notice, and look upon it with acceptance. Yea, he even goes further. He entreats him. He says, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. He wants the Lord's attention to his prayer. He wants it to be close. He wants it to be considerate. He is saying, God, I need you to hear me today. Do we look at our lives and say, is there something that could be stopping my prayers to get to heaven? do we really humble ourselves to the point that we're concerned that God may not be hearing us? That's what this verse is saying. And it's a humbling thought, because we all think, hey, I can boldly enter the throne of grace, and we can. We can see mercy and grace and help in the time of need. Those are prior promises we should hold on to. But unless we understand, we're not going to be right with him. Because I've lived in sin sometimes in my life for a long period of time, not even knowing what I was doing wrong because I was so stuck. And don't get me wrong, as you get right with the Lord, he's going to reveal something next day and next day. That's the understanding Dave is talking about. So I'm not saying if you're not aware of something going on in your heart and life that God's not going to hear you, but he's going to hear that prayer, "Search me, O Lord. Show me if there be any wicked way in me." But this is why a psalmist who has just in 168 verses beforehand talked about how much he loved God and he loved his word, and he's going to him and saying, "God, I need you to hear my prayer." And then he says, "Give me understanding." Do we seek it like that? Do we really say, "God, I just don't want to be dirty. I want to be clean. Because I need you to hear me. Because if you don't hear me, I'm not going to get the understanding that I need. And if I don't get the understanding I need, I'm going to go astray." That's somebody who's really interested in God hearing their prayers. And as we seek for revival in our church, and I think we could use it, when we seek for revival meetings coming up, when we seek relationships being brought together, it's got to come to some point in time that, is God hearing my prayers? Maybe it's a good thing to look and say, I got to make sure I'm right so God does hear my prayers. Because our church needs prayers. Our families need prayers. Our church family needs prayers. Our country needs prayers. But are we humbly coming before God and saying, "God, let my cry come near before thee"? Or are we just assuming God's going to hear me and push our way in there? And the amazing thing is, God does hear us. You ever been around somebody who doesn't act like they're listening? You ever been around somebody, maybe somebody who's really important, maybe it's a boss, maybe it's you see some type of famous person and you're trying to get their attention and you're just doing whatever you can to get a hold. Hey, maybe it's your kids, maybe it's your wife. Of course, it would never be your husband. But, maybe it's somebody there and it's like you're talking and you're talking and you're talking. God's not that way. He has opened the door up. He has given us the way. He has told us to pray without ceasing. He has told us to come boldly. He has told us all those things. It's not his problem. It's our problem if we don't want to be right. And I think sometimes we don't even see the importance of prayer as much because we don't understand. When it says, "Give me understanding," it says you have not because you ask not. Then it says it's because you ask amiss, which means you're asking the wrong things. So what is that key that unlocks it? It's the understanding of what's wrong in my life so I can get it right, so I can make sure that I'm praying on a regular basis so I can continually getting understanding. Because it says, according to thy word, that's what he wants understanding. He wants understanding according to God's word. What does he want understanding about? His own life, the things that he's going through, the word of God. He's got that, but he wants to understand what he should apply to his life, the things that he should learn from it, the things he should grow from it, the things that should be opened up to him, the discernment that he should have, the spirit that he should have. Is it important to us enough that God hear our prayers, that we're right with him? Because I think we gloss over it sometimes. Oh, God's going to hear me. We sit and we pray these sermon before messages. I do, because I want God's blessing. We open in prayer. We close in prayer. We have offering prayers. Those are all good things. But is it important enough for us to have our heart right? Because we know how much we need to hear from God. When we have understanding, we'll see a need for communication. When we have understanding, we cannot be silent. Well, I didn't read verse 170, so this still goes along with the last point. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. So both those verses, the psalmist who loves the word of God in the last 168 verses are saying, God, I need you to hear from me. And the purpose of that hearing is because he needs understanding. And what does he need understanding about if he loves God's word so much? It's because I've gone astray like a sheep. Look what it says next. With understanding, we cannot be silent. I don't know about you, but if God is teaching you something and helping you understand something, it's really hard to stay quiet about it. If you're learning from the Lord and you hear from the Lord, you want to teach it to somebody. You want to share it with somebody. It's sort of like, yeah, I know people love posting stuff on Facebook. I know people make little comments here and there. They get things. But man, when you get something from God, boy, it's like this. I think it was, I don't know when, it was probably over the, no, it wasn't Christmas break. It was when Christian had came home in February for a few days. We were talking, and we talked about spiritual things, talked about the Word of God, and he began giving me a thought that God had given him about a message, about a certain character, and it's something he had learned and something the Lord had revealed to him, and he asked me what I thought about it because he wanted to make sure it was on point and make sure that it was right and correct, and I said, I never thought about it that way. But you know what? He wanted to share it with somebody. He says, well, I already shared it with a couple other people, and they see where it's coming from. And you know what? When God is teaching us something, we really want to share that to somebody else. He said, Pastor, I don't really have a desire to share it to anybody else. Is he teaching you anything? And I'm not talking about facts. I'm talking about the understanding that can only come from God. I love hearing preachers that make good illustrations and make great application. And I feel bad for you guys sometimes because I'm not a good storyteller. One of the weakest things I do in my speaking is I don't give enough illustrations. And I want to do better at that. But when you hear a good, they can make application and can smack you right up the head. But there is no better teacher than the Holy Spirit of God. When you're there and your heart is right and you're begging God just to hear you because you want to make sure you're right with him. And he opens your understanding. It's like when he opens your understanding, you're like, I never thought about that before. And when we take that understanding and we apply it to our lives, it's hard to stay silent about it. Look what he says here. When he gets the understanding, he says, my lips shall utter praise. And that's the first thing I do. When God opens up my understanding about something, I'm saying, God, you're so good to me. I'm such a dummy. I've read that 100 times probably. And he opens his, I praise him because he teaches me things that I never know that helps me. When thou hast taught me thy statutes. He says, I'm going to praise you when you give me $1 million. No, he says, I'm going to praise you when you, no, he says, I'm going to praise you when you teach me thy statutes. He says, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all the commandments are righteousness. He doesn't say that they're righteous. He says they are righteousness. They are the standard. They are what we're supposed to live by. Then you go down to verse 175, and he says, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. He says, when I get understanding, I have a reason to live. He says, let my soul live so I can tell other people. Let my soul continue so I keep on reigning. No, it's let my soul live because now I have understanding. I have purpose in life. Now I want to share this with somebody else. And what does it all begin with? It's understanding how much we need him. Because when we understand how much we need God, we're going to keep on keeping those lines clear. It's sort of like when you have somebody you need, you got to get a hold of them. Sometimes, I love my sons, but sometimes they don't always pick up their phone. And like if I've been working, last month I was working on their taxes. They were out and they were doing things. I says, you need to have your phone there and you need to make sure you pick it up when I call or you can do your taxes yourself. Because they sometimes send promo codes or things like that. Not promo codes, but the little, being authorization codes. And if I have questions and things like that. And so it says, keep the lines of communication open and free. And so what the psalmist is saying, what I have realized something that with my life, I need to keep my lines of communication open with God because I am completely and totally dependent upon him. And this is a guy who loves God's word. And you think if he loves God's word, he already knows all that. But he's saying here in the last 8 verses, I need understanding because I go astray. I do wrong. So when we understand how much we need him, we're going to say, man, I need these lines clear. And tonight, during our invitation time, or even while God speaks to your heart now, you can say, you know what? My lines aren't clear. I'm not talking to the Lord. I need to get to him because I need him so bad because if I don't have him, I have nothing to tell somebody else. He says, I'm not praising God because I'm not hearing from him, and he's not teaching me, and he's not telling me things. What do I have to offer to someone else if it's not God giving me understanding? Now, I know it can be previous understanding. I'm thankful for all these things I've learned before, and I love teaching. I'm going through discipleship with somebody right now. I love going through those verses. I love looking at all those verses that are famous for us, making application. I love sitting down and just saying, I remember when God helped me there, when God helped me there, when God helped me there. I remember this part of it. It is an awesome truth when we get that understanding, and we praise him for that. And I love sharing that with someone who doesn't know. And even though sometimes somebody's in discipleship, they might not get that understanding that first day. But when you get something, you're teaching someone something, and they see something for the first time, or you can just see that it's making a connection, you think in your heart, praise the Lord. Man, look at what they're learning. These things God has taught me already. And the psalmist knows all that already, and probably 10 times more than we would ever understand about God. And he's saying, God, I realize how much I need you. I got to keep these lines open. And once you teach me something, I want to tell somebody else. Think about a couple verses. First, consider praise about not being silent. Consider the praise that you do when you understand the Lord. In Proverbs 3, 13 and 14, the Bible says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that giveth understanding, for the merchandise is better than merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. You can keep on going from verse after verse after verse in that passage of Scripture, but that's a person that's praising. A person who's happy is going to give you true praise. Happy in the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord. We talked about that on Sunday morning. We talked about why are some Christians so miserable. It's because they're not happy, because they're not finding wisdom there. And it says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, meaning truth from God, and the man that getteth understanding. And I know that I'm not going to understand everything in the Bible. I am so encouraged that the psalmist that had the ability to write these under an inspiration of the Holy Ghost wrote those 178 verses, and he still at the end saying, give me understanding, give me understanding. I need this because I'm not going to learn unless you show me God. And I'm not going to hear from you unless my lines are open and cleared, unless my heart is right, unless I confess it all. I want you to hear from me, Lord. Then think about sharing with others. Proverbs 14:29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. A couple days ago, I think it's Proverbs 26, and there was that interesting passage of Scripture that talked about an angry man, something wrong with him, but it talks about a man that can control his spirit is better than he that can take a city. That's not an exact quote, but that is the principle that's found in that verse. God helped me a couple days ago when he told me, he says, if you can control your spirit, that's the way you act, and that's your temperament, that is the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering. If you can act right all the time, you're more valuable than a guy strong enough to take over a whole city. We sit there and we look at the world and we're saying, man, that guy's going to do something great for God. God looks around and says, that's somebody who can control his spirit, that's someone I can use. But when we can't control our emotions, can't control our spirit, the man that's angry, I mean, here it says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. If you can't control your emotions, the Bible says you're going to be pushing out folly. You're going to keep on pushing foolishness. So why is that? Because you lack the understanding that the psalmist is seeking. I've been there before. I've just said things because I knew certain things, and I can push the folly, but if we can't control ourselves. The Bible says if we are a person that is hasty of spirit, meaning that we're making quick decisions, not based off the understanding of God, but based off our emotions and based off our how we feel, we exalt the folly. We say things that are stupid. We say things that are ridiculous. And we want to put it and make it sound spiritual because why? Because we love the Bible. We want the Bible. We understand we need the Bible. But when we can't control our own spirit, it doesn't matter if we love the Bible. The psalmist loved the Bible, and he says, I've still gone astray. I've still done wrong. But when I can control my own spirit, that's someone that I can help somebody with then. I can pass it along. He says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit is exalteth folly. And I see people exalting folly. Why is that? It's because they're not seeking the understanding of God's word. And then you see in Proverbs 17:27, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Man, I love that. An excellent spirit. You ever met somebody with an excellent spirit? Someone who it doesn't have to be a bright person. Doesn't have to be an outgoing person. Doesn't have to be somebody. It's someone who can control themselves, and they don't control themselves. They let the Holy Spirit control them. It is an excellent spirit. Who is that person? It says the man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. I don't know how to answer every man. It's because I need understanding. Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Don't just get the Word of God and look at the Word of God and learn the Word of God. Apply the Word of God, which is what gives us wisdom. And as we apply the Word of God, then we're going to get understanding. With obedience comes understanding. Without obedience, you know what happens? There's no understanding. I think about if you don't get step one right, no sense going to step two. Someone tried to teach me one time how to change my oil. That's, if you know me and tools don't really get along that well. Poor Mr. Don was trying to help me with my Pine Derby car, and he gave me a hammer, and he was sitting there, and he was holding the wheel so I could bump it in there, right? And he says, and I'm sitting there, I'm bumping in there, you know what I hit? I hit his thumb. And I said to him, why did you give me that hammer? He says, I want you to build your own car. He said, give me the hammer back. Me and tools don't really work out that well. And I remember somebody tried to teach me how to change the oil, and the reality is there's a first step for changing the oil. And whatever that may be, some people might say you need to check the oil to make sure you need it. Some people might say you need to take this certain part off. I don't know what the first step is, but I do know if you don't do the first step, there's no sense doing step number two. And I know in our lives today, if we don't do step number one, which makes sure that we're right, there's no sense doing step number two. Because we're not getting the oil change, we're not getting the things accomplished until we make sure that we're right. And I love the fact that the psalmist ends this chapter with saying, God, I just want you to hear me. Of course God hears the honest and open heart. Of course God does. Last but not least, with understanding, we see our need for help. With understanding, we get to this spot where we understand we're completely dependent upon God. Look what it says in verses 173 and 174. Let thy hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord. Thy law is my delight. You go back up to the verse earlier where it talks about in verse 170, let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. They are asking God for deliverance. They're not trying to perform it themselves. Psalmist, 168 verses, loved the word of God. He could figure it out, couldn't he? I mean, he doesn't really need any help. He has a passion for the word of God. Those Bible believers, those Bible thumpers, what do they need? They know everything. The reality is we need understanding. And that's what he's saying. Even in the last portion, after the 168 verses, how much I love them, he's saying, Lord, deliver me. He's saying, Lord, help me. He's saying, Lord, he is saying, I am utterly dependent upon you. It amazes me how some of the heroes of faith were so dependent upon the Lord. They didn't want to go a step further unless they heard from God. I'm not doing this until God tells me, until God shows me, until God leads me, until God directs me. And then it amazed me some other people in the Bible, they push right on forward, not even checking with God. Think about Joshua and that story about Jericho, and so piped up, pumped up, and he went and he sent those guys out to Ai, and they came back, and Joshua gets on his face before God and starts blaming God. Why in the world did you let this happen? And God kind of says to him, what are you doing down there? There's sin. You didn't do things the way you were supposed to. That's the reason why people died. And what is that? He didn't have understanding. He didn't understand. I am totally desperate. I need God. I can almost imagine. And sometimes we learn things the hard ways. But I bet you Joshua didn't go back out on war without praying and seeking God anymore. Because he learned his lesson, hopefully. And we see some of the things he's done and the positive things. Right down the road, what happens? He meets the Gibeonites. Deceived again. Why is that? He lacked understanding. If he understood, then he would have went to the Lord instead of reasoning out in his own mind. I can reason things out because of the fact that I love the Bible. The psalmist is saying, deliver me, God. I long for thy salvation. Help me. And yes, we have our knowledge. Yes, God gives us discernment. I understand all that. But we should be praying without ceasing. We should continually have that on our heart. God, I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart. I'm not going to lean into my own understandings and all my ways. I'm going to acknowledge him, and he shall direct my paths. I'm going to trust in you. I know this. I love the Bible, and because I love the Bible, this person needs this, or I need to do that. Lord, I'm just going to let you lead me and let you guide me. Of course, the Word of God's going to help give that light. Of course, the Holy Spirit's going to give that wisdom. Of course, praying, but I'm going to make sure step by step I'm doing things your way. Why is that? Because it says in the last verse, I've gone astray. And not only does it say I've gone astray, it says I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Now, some people think about this and they think, no, I can make it back home. You ever been lost and you think, okay, it might take me a minute or two, but I know I'm supposed to go east, or I know I'm supposed to go north. And my wife was talking to me yesterday, and that she was talking about how dogs can find a way back home. And she had made the comment that there's a cat, and my in-laws had taken it somewhere else and was worried about the cat coming back. And I says, cats aren't that smart. And I said, dogs might be that smart, but cats aren't that smart. And what's the point there is when you see it, we've gone astray like a lost sheep. Sheep are dumb. They're not finding their way back home. The psalmist is saying, I can't get home by myself. And that's when he says, seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. He says, I'm not a dog. Not a sheep. I'm your servant. And Lord, I don't want you to give up on me. I don't. Seek thy servant. He says, Lord, when I've done something wrong, don't let me just stay in it. I need you to give me understanding. I need your help. Spurgeon put it this way. Spurgeon, in this last verse, he says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep, often willfully, wantonly, and even hopelessly, but for thine imposing grace in times gone by, before I was afflicted, before thou hast fully taught me thy statutes, I went astray. I went astray from practical precepts, from the instructive doctrines, and even from heavenly experiences which thou hast set before me. I lost my road and I lost myself. Even now I'm apt to wander and in fact have roamed already. Therefore, Lord, restore me. Seek thy servant. He was not like a dog that somehow or another can find its way back. He was a lost sheep which goes further and further away from home. Yet still he was a sheep and the Lord's sheep, his property and precious in his sight. And therefore he hoped to be sought in order to be restored. However far he might have wandered, he was still only a sheep, but God's servant. And therefore he desired to be in his master's house again, and once more honored with the commissions from his Lord. He had been only a lost sheep, he would not have been praying to be sought, but he was also a servant. He had the power to pray. He cries, see thy servant. And he hopes to be not only, but forgiven and accepted and taken into work again by his gracious master. He gives this idea of a sheep that is broken from the pasture. He's forsaken his flock. He left the shepherd and bears himself in the wilderness. He was nothing but a lost thing. And he knows what was right. He knows God's word is right. He approved it. He admired it. He said he loved the light. He said he longed for it. And his idea is that he could not stay in his sin. His idea is that he had to restore his ways once again. And has restored his ways of righteousness, his homesickness after God. He pined after the ways of peace. He did not forget God's commandments, nor did he cease to do those things that made him happiest or safest. We forsake God's blessings when we forget to make sure we're right with Him. So, what's the point of tonight's message? We need understanding. When we get understanding, we're going to want to communicate with God because we do go astray. When we get understanding, we're going to want to tell others. We're going to praise Him, and we're going to want to tell others. And when we get understanding, I think it will become abundantly clear that God is our strength, and we need His help. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Be not far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. And the Lord should help them and deliver them. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make haste to help me. Over and over and over, the psalmist understood one thing. He needed understanding. That understanding gave him some truths. Even though he loved the Word of God, he says, I know I need to communicate with God, and that means so much to me. I am going to be completely right with Him. Because when I'm not right with Him, He doesn't hear and answer my prayers. Not only does it talk about communication, it talks about how He's going to communicate it with others. And then he realizes something that I often forget and probably all of us forget. Once again, we had the same testimony. I love His Word. It's great. It's perfect. It's all these wonderful things. But I forget I need His help. I forget day by day, moment by moment. I say stupid things. In this sermon, I probably said something stupid. You know, there are things that we mess up on. We've gone astray. That's why we need to realize, God, show me where I've gone astray. Because many times we are blinded to our own sins. Because we haven't taken the time to say, I really need to talk to God. And when we understand that, we're not going to let sin block that communication. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for today. I thank You for Your Word. Lord, I don't want to just love Your Word. Lord, I want to understand it. Lord, I know the Bible talks about reading it. It talks about memorizing it. It talks about hearing it preached. It talks about meditating on it. It talks about all those things. Why is that? So we can hear and know and understand. Thank You for the Psalms 119. Thank You for giving us a greater love for Your Word. But Lord, thank You for helping us understand how much we need understanding. It's not just about knowing Your Word. It's knowing and understanding Your Word. Knowing and understanding the will of God. Over and over and over, at least 10 times in Psalms 119, the psalmist says something like, I need understanding, give me understanding. And he knew he needed it. Lord, help us to understand the situations that we're going through. Lord, if we can't understand them completely, help us understand what we're supposed to do. Open our eyes, enlighten us, Lord, to Your Word. Open our eyes that we may behold the wondrous things that are in Thy law. God, give us not only a passion to say how much we love the Bible, help us to apply it so we can be a discerning people. Lord, help us make sure our pathway or our message lines or our communication lines are clear with You. Lord, our sin is slowing it down. Help us to realize that. Help us, like the psalmist, say, O Lord, help my cry to come near Thee. In Jesus' name, amen.